I am still adjusting to the reality of who is sitting at this table. Tony Award-winning playwright Terrence McNally, Tony Award-winning director Jack O'Brien, and Jake Heggie.
With no Tony Awards.
But Jake Heggie.
No, but you're only the composer of Dead Man Walking and Moby Dick. And all of you are here working on a new opera, Great Scott, which gets a public reading this Tuesday. Great Scott was commissioned by the Dallas Opera in 2012. And Terrence McNally, I understand that was your idea, the subject for this
opera. It's an original libretto, yeah.
Okay. And tell us the premise.
It's about a singer who reached great international stardom. And she's come back to her roots. And there's a struggling opera company in her hometown. And she's appearing there. And instead of doing one of her signature roles, while she was singing in St. Petersburg, she came across a score hidden away in the back of a drawer in the library. And it's a bel canto opera written in 1835. It's having its world premiere. So we contrast the world of modern American art and 19th century Italian opera. And that's the premise. And the opera's opening the same night. The town's team got lucky, and they're in the Super Bowl. And there's the woman who owns the opera company, the managing director, her husband owns the football team. So there's a lot going on before the curtain goes up.
And it says a lot. It's a lot about a story that we can all relate to in this country about arts and sports and performing arts and the struggles that we have, especially if you've devoted your life and your passion and your heart to the performing arts. You feel like you have to justify your existence so much of the time that you're in a world where that Terrence has created, where this never-before-done bel canto opera that's going to be seen by a couple thousand people is being done the same night that the Super Bowl is going to be telecast to over 100 million people. And so what is the cultural legacy of our country, and what's the cultural footprint we want to leave?
And lest anybody think that that could never happen, opera companies, as all of you, I think, know, schedule at least 3 to 5 years in advance.
Right.
Sometimes more than that.
Yes.
Also, the opera is interesting. The first act takes place during the rehearsal period, and the second act is during the opening night performance on stage and off. So there's lots of theater going on, and real life is repeating itself in the opera. I thought it was such a great idea, and Cecilia Bartoli has just come up with an album of music she found backstage at the Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg.
Is that tragedy?
Yeah.
So art is imitating life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Music that's never been recorded or... Yeah. Who knows who has heard and was our...
Except what's amazing, this is Jake, by the way, the composer, is Terrence also predicted the future in several other ways with this initial draft of the libretto by having a soprano guest star and sing the national anthem at a football game. And, of course, since then, Renee Fleming sang at the Super Bowl and Joyce DiDonato sang
it. We did it first.
Amazing.
Well, Jake, this is not your first collaboration with Terrence McNally. You did Dead Man Walking, which was such a spectacular breakout success. How has your working relationship changed, or has it changed?
It hasn't really changed. I'm happy to do it again 10 years later.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd write an opera libretto. I've been an opera lover since the sixth grade, but I never thought I'd write one. And Jake invited me to join him in creating an opera for San Francisco. And then 10 years later, here we are doing... No, the difference is this is an original libretto. Dead Man Walking was based on a familiar story or person, very much in the news in America, Sister Helen Prejean. So here we're asking an audience to really take a journey of like a brand new play, actually. No one knows what this is about. And we're still finding out.
Yeah, we're still figuring it out, too.
Ask Jack.
So true.
Well, Jake, you were saying, too, when we spoke earlier, this is a comic opera, and so that presents its own challenges. And you said to me that wonderful cliche that dying is easy.
Comedy's hard, yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it a comic opera. It's an opera with great heart, but it does have comedy in it. I mean, the situation is funny. And some of the things that happen are very funny. But it's a very serious story about a woman who's really at a crossroads in her life.
This is Jack talking. I think we're at the part in our lives where we don't separate comedy and drama in that respect. I mean, one's life is hilarious and terrifying at the same time. And sometimes within the space of 10 minutes, as you find yourself laughing outrageously. And then you face a dilemma. And often you face it with humor. So this just brings out the modernity of the piece, the fact that it's so utterly contemporary in its values and in the mise-en-scène and all the rest of it. So it offers both moments of enormous romance and pathos, and yet hilariously funny things, because let's face it, the theater's pretty funny when you're putting it on.
I just don't want the program or any ad to say a comic opera. Let the audience decide. I like Meistersinger much more now that I've forgotten it's supposed to be a comic opera and just enjoy it as an opera.
Yeah.
Come to love it.
Well, in addition to staging operas at the Met and Santa Fe, Jack, what drew you to work on an opera that's really in progress?
The phone rang and they invited me to do it. No, I was reflecting on this today. I'm an anomaly in this trio because a director in the world of opera is usually handed a libretto and a score and said, here's the work that Puccini wrote, or here's the Verdi score, and study it, and please try to learn it, and do you speak Italian? And in this case, a director is never sitting in the room when the conductor's working with the singers and the composer and the librettist are both on staff watching it evolve. I mean, I don't have anything to stage yet. I have some opinions because of the economics of opera. It's become so expensive, and I'm realizing it falls to me to keep an eye, frankly, on the bottom line. I would love to be able to do this with pachyderms and giraffes and slaves.
And a volcano.
And a spewing volcano. And I was sort of pacing my room this afternoon thinking, what could I do if I didn't do that? Because as we all know, we're not just doing this for a night. These two inestimable gentlemen are trying to slip a new trout into the stream that we will see glinting in the river for quite some time.
You say that so poetically. That's a wonderful...
I'm blushing.
Well, but it's really true. This is Jake again. We're finding it as we go along. Terence has invented a world for an opera, which is very rare in opera. The number of actual original librettos that aren't based on anything pre-existing is very few. I think Rosencavalier is one. Così, I think, is original story. There's a few, but there's really not that many. They're all based on either an existing play or legend or, in the case of Butterfly, a newspaper series. But this is entirely original, and so finding it along the way has been the challenge and the joy of it, because there are discoveries to be made. And what we're here in Cincinnati to do is to learn what it is. I've written about 2 hours of music. I have more music to write. I'm going to have rewrites to do and changes to make, because as you hear singers do it, it comes off the page and comes to life in a different way. And we learn what's working, what's not, what's dragging, what's moving, what's clear, what could be clearer. All of those things.
Well, your residency is under the sponsorship of Opera Fusion New Works, and that's a collaboration between Cincinnati Opera and CCM, and it's supported by the Andrew Mellon Foundation. What's so unique about this kind of residency?
I think what's unique about the residency is that this is the first time all of us have been together for an extended period, and it allows us to be together, to work on it, to hear it, and it's with wonderful young, a variety of young singers. And we work every single day, and it's an extended period. Most workshops that I've done of pieces have been 3 or 4 days, and then you try to get everything together, smash through, learn what you can, and then you're done. And that's all the information you get. This is over a period of a week of rehearsals, every single day, learning about the piece, being able to talk with each other. The core creative team is here together, Evan Rochester, our wonderful conductor, Jack O'Brien, Terence McNally, and me, all together to work on this and discover what it is.
It's a rare opportunity. I remember the opening night of Dead Man Walking. It was like the dress rehearsal. I couldn't believe the singers were actually doing it. The screaming from backstage was scenery just missing people. The theater, we're used to 3 weeks of previews. Daily rehearsal, 8-hour day. Singers can't rehearse 8 hours every day. So this is a luxury to have this sort of head start, and we'll learn a lot about this piece. So when we do it in Dallas with Joyce DiDonato, Federica von Stade, people of that caliber, it'll be a better opera because of this experience.
And the other thing, I think, is the fact that we're not only learning about it, we're hearing each other talk about it. And you salt those ideas away, or you listen to the conductor talking about intonation or a passage that is difficult to understand. And months before I'm even going to meet the people who are going to do it, I'm thinking to myself, oh, that could be a problem. I should be able to help somebody on the stage do that. And this is way in advance. I'm not making it up on the spot. I have the opportunity to reflect and listen to the values and what they think is important and what they want to sort of feature. And that all goes into my own computer, if you know what I mean.
So on Tuesday, there will be some excerpts presented for the public to hear. Do you have any idea what those are going to be yet?
We don't know what those. This is Jake again. We don't know. We're going to find out as we rehearse. And it's a year from now. Any excerpts that we present might disappear before opening night, or they might be changed significantly. The idea is to really show something that's in progress, things that we feel good about presenting. So it'll be about 4 or 5 excerpts from the piece and a lot of conversation about creating the piece. Evan Rochester and I will be there to talk about it, and the singers as well. And then we'll have an extensive Q&A also.
It's a preview, really.
Yeah.
Sneak preview.
How many singers are involved in this workshop?
There are 8 roles. There are 7 singers because one of them doubles a role. But we are very lucky. We have a wonderful cast to work with, and they're very eager to make it work and to let it lift off so that we can really hear what's going on.
We have 7 principals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they will act as chorus too when they're, but it's an opera for 7 principals and chorus. Mm-hmm.
And you said earlier, Jack, that there's not going to be any blocking.
I meant it. I absolutely meant it. I can promise you that no one will be doing any of my wonderful moves on that occasion.
This is your first time working all together, but you and Terrence have quite a hit going on.
We do.
In New
We're
York.
Very excited about it.
It's only a play on
it's
Broadway.
It's only a play, yeah.
Big hit.
Yeah.
Hasn't been an empty seat since the first preview, which you're very proud of and happy.
Yeah, and you and Jake have...
Jake, we have Dead Man Walking, which
yes.
is, I think, the most produced contemporary opera.
It absolutely is, over 40 productions.
Because, you know, the other famous saying, it's easy to get a world premiere, very hard to get a second production.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we've had, 30, yeah. 40 productions.
Well, and especially in the opera world.
Yeah.
You
know,
yeah.
It's harder. Well, plays,
opera,
too.
So, yeah.
You know, New York, I can get a play done. But, boy, sometimes it's very hard getting that second production. Yeah. Unless the critics in New York have been approving.
Well, what's fun in this project, too, is Terrence and Jack have a long history. They go way back. I don't mean to make it sound like you're old or anything.
I felt myself crumpling over the microphone.
But,
yeah, well, we did. We met. Actually, our first work was out at my theater, the Old Globe Theater in San Diego, which I ran for 25 years. And Terrence came out in the 80s, and we did
in the 80s. It's quite a while.
Yeah, the early 80s did a project together. It was perfectly terrible, but it didn't dissuade us from showing up today.
I didn't think it was terrible. I thought
I'm teasing.
No, but it wasn't a hit. No,
but you've certainly made up for that.
We certainly have. Mm-hmm. We also did the Full Monty together, and we did Catch Me If You Can together. So we've maintained a certain credibility on the street.
And I don't remember when we first met, but we talked for a long time about we should do a project together.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
time. So when this came up, Terrence, you're always the magic beacon for all of these things. When he came up with the idea for Great Scott, you really said, I think Jack is really the right person,
the only person
to direct this. And so we sat down and had dinner, and we told you the premise, and you said, I'm the right person.
I am the right. I was perfect for you.
Well, we are so looking forward to seeing it on Tuesday. I know I am. And I want to thank you all for one of the most enjoyable times I've had around this table ever, I think. And I am a big fan of all your works, collectively and individually. My guests have been Jake Heggie, composer, Terrence McNally, librettist, playwright, too, and Jack O'Brien, who is the director extraordinaire. They are working on Great Scott, sponsored by Opera Fusion New Works. The excerpts will be Tuesday, November 25th at 7:30 p.m. at Memorial Hall. Tickets are free, but you need to make reservations. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ann Arenstein. Thank you.
se vedessi questo cane di dottore, ma che rabbia che mi fa, caro a te, mi rabbia.